There's a lot of mysterious things to wrestling fans or people who try to learn about the WWF locker room culture. A lot of things that's like etiquette that's hard to understand. What's the problem with taking a nap? Why would that get you heat?
Well, you know, for a lot of the young guys, they don't know how to perform, and being taking a nap, you know, that could be, you know, something you can get heat for. My thing has always been, I'm a performer. You know, I need my rest to be able to go out and perform. I'm an artist, but the thing is, if I didn't know how to work properly, I wouldn't have been taking a nap. That's the thing. Talent can speak up. When you're not talent, keep your mouth shut and try to learn the business.
With that, you came over, the invasion happened, and I wonder what you thought of how it all went down, because the invasion pay-per-view in 2001, I think to this day, is one of the most purchased pay-per-views that isn't one of the big four, Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Survivor Series, that they've ever done. So it was really hot there, and then it fizzled away. By the end of the year, you had lost the WCW Championship to The Rock at Survivor Series, and come 2002, there really wasn't any mention anymore of WCW or ECW or the Invasion storyline, even though it seemed to have a lot of promise. What's your thoughts on how that storyline began and ended, because you were right in the middle of it?
It was something that started off, you know, that it could last, you know what I mean? But it's something that had to be done because at that time it was, you know, WWE against WCW, and it was something that had to be proved. Who was the best as far as the talent bill? And, you know, at that point in time, the talent pool that we had from WCW standpoint just wasn't ready to go out there and try to pull that off and perform at that level. And but they had to do it just because somebody had to win. And WWE ended up winning. But that's the way it was supposed to go. You know, when they bought the company, you know, they, like I said, had to put a stamp on it. And that's Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon has to raise, he had to raise the flag. And from a business perspective, I totally understood that.
Do you still think about the Tacoma match with Buff Bagwell?
You know, I don't think about that. You know what I mean? It was one of the, you know, highlights of my career, of course. You know, I never, you know, got the boring chant in the ring for it. I never been on display from that perspective. But, hey, I knew what was going to happen that night. I knew Marcus wasn't ready to go. Other guys on WCW at that time were just cruising. They weren't prepared for, you know, the war that we were actually getting ready to you know, partake, you know, but myself, I was ready, and that's why I still lasted even after that night.
How are you feeling about being general manager? You had a run as a color commentator on SmackDown and had your comedy with Michael Cole. It was an interesting run in the announce booth, but you seem a lot more comfortable as general manager.
You know, I'm in an authority role now. I'm in that role now where I can totally be comfortable at, you know. In the commentary booth, it's nerve-wracking out there. It's a rough gig, you know. And a lot of times, you know, Cole has been doing that for so long, Josh. Myself, I felt like I was just getting my feet wet. But I still, even went in the booth from a learning experience, I never tried to take Booker T into the booth. You know, I've never tried to use who I was in the booth, you know what I mean, and try to overplay who I, you know, what I had done in the business. I always tried to make it about the young guys, and I think that's what I brought to the table.
It seems like in assessing your WWE run, one of the real high points, and now you're sort of semi-active retired, and I'll ask you quickly, do you plan on returning to the ring? Is that something that makes any sense for you, or do you consider yourself, as far as an in-ring performer and athlete, with the tights on, done in wrestling?
My wrestling days behind me. Whether I'm going to get back in the ring for one match or something like that, I'll never say never on something like that, but my interest is behind me. I've done it all. It's not about me anymore. It's about the young guys. It's about those guys going out there fulfilling their dreams, creating their legacy in this business. And I'm here to pretty much do what I have to do to, you know, help them. And I just honestly, truly know that it's not about me anymore. And I'm loving the phase of this stage of my career that I'm at right now. I'm embracing it, and I'm moving forward.
With that said, maybe your highest point was WrestleMania 2003, where you fought Triple H for the World Heavyweight title in one of the featured matches and main events. Talk about that bout looking forward. That was one of the more concentrated presentations they had done of you. You got a lot of microphone time on Raw. There was a lot of build-up to the match, and, you know, there's nothing bigger in the industry than WrestleMania. Does that Triple H match stand out as special for you?
You know, it stands out. But you know, I never really, you know, a lot of the wrestlers look at moments that they've had as being special. You know, I have very few moments like that.
Hmm.
I never wrestled for myself. I never performed for myself. If you were to ask me what WrestleMania that was, I couldn't tell you. I couldn't, you know. If you could tell me what number it was with Edge, I couldn't tell you because I never tried to remember that kind of stuff. I didn't wrestle for the memories for me, wrestle for the memories for the fans. And that's why it's going to be hard, so hard for me to write the wrestling book. I'm going to have to YouTube it and then refresh my memory on it because I just never performed for me. Certain moments, like with Goldust, you know, King Booker, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin, the grocery store, you know, certain moments, you know, the best of seven series of Benoit, you know, seventh, third round things is very vivid in my mind. But a lot of it, like I say, I just never did it for myself.
That's really interesting. And the moments you did mention, it is sort of a short list, but definitely I think just as a longtime wrestling fan, those stand out when I think about your high points as well and the real memorable moments. You mentioned the Best of Seven series with Chris Benoit, which of course played out in WCW in 1998 over the World Television Championship. Really some of the best matches on Nitro, just amazing performances over seven matches between you two. Is it tough, Booker, to kind of think about that, though, knowing what ended up happening with Chris Benoit? Does that kind of taint the memory of how great and big for your career that series was?
Well, it does take the memory for me, but I think it does for a lot of the fans. It clouds it a whole lot, you know what I mean? It's something people have to think about when they think about myself and Chris in the Best of Seven. It's something that they're going to have to add to it forevermore, you know. So it does cloud it, you know, but for myself, you know, as memories that I'll keep, you know, and cherish, you know, for many, many years to come, you know, what we went out and did in the middle of that ring, how much pain we put each other through, I don't forget them. You know what I mean? There's no way I could forget them, you know, throughout the rest of my life. You know, do I wish the circumstances would have been different as far as his demise? Of course, man. I wish things could have been different. But, you know, we live life and we move on.
Was that one of the most physically demanding and grueling things you've done in the business, that Best of Seven?
Yeah, it was the most demanding I ever did the business. It was rough, but I loved it. At that time, I wore all the pain as a badge of honor and courage, you know. And to have a series like that and create that kind of magic, you know, once in a lifetime in a career, you know, and I think I did that.
There was an untimely demise, of course, of Chris Benoit. Everybody knows that. But another untimely demise that might be a little more personal to you, I wonder, is the death of Sherry Martel, who, of course, we know as Sensational Sherry, Scary Sherry over the years. And she managed yourself and Stevie Ray in Harlem Heat in the mid to late 90s. And I know you guys were very close to her. Talk about what that was like when she passed away.
Oh, man, it was a rough time, you know what I mean? I buried Sherry, you know what I mean? I made sure she had the proper burial, and that right there means a lot to me, you know what I mean? You know, I'm sure it meant a lot to her, too, you know. She's the one who put us on the map, you know. I mean, if it wasn't for Sherry, I don't know if we would have ever been as successful. I know we wouldn't have been as successful as we were without the guidance of Sherry, you know. So definitely she will well be missed. She's always in the memories of my heart.
And for fans that might not know, Booker, tell us what it is she brought to the table at Harlem Heat, what it was she added to the act.
Well, Sherry was unique, you know what I mean? She was a groundbreaker, and not only did she do it, you know what I mean? She managed a lot of the guys who did it, you know what I mean? When you became a part of Sherry Martel, you know, and it was almost like, you know, you had that validation, you know, that stamp of approval, you know, that you perhaps may have something special to go somewhere in this business. And we knew once we got with Sherry that, you know, our light was about to start shining very, very bright.
Booker T, an amazing chat, and we do appreciate you looking back over your wrestling career as well as your life pre-wrestling. The book is Booker T from Prison to Promise, out now from Medallion Press. Before we let you go, Booker, give us a sense, give us a breakdown. I don't know if you want to give us your fave five. I miss those, man. I miss the fave five. who's headlining WrestleMania in 2, 3, 4 years?
Man, Wade Barrett and Oh, man, it's going to be hard to pick the next one.
Put
Wade.
you on the spot here, I know. Well, you can name four or five different guys that might be in the
You
mix.
know, well, you know, of course, Wade Barrett. Of course, Cody Rhodes is going to be there. Randy Orton, he's a guy that's he's a prime time main eventer. You know, Sheamus is a guy who's going to be sticking around this business for a long time. And it's a few guys that's out there that's carrying the load right now, and I see those guys carrying it for quite some time. But I do plan on some new guys, you know, stepping into the fray, and I'm throwing their name into the hat. I'm going to be doing my best to guide these guys. Not only do I GM, but I train and try to mentor as well. So I'm going to be doing my part to bring the next generation up. So I'll be looking over the next 5 years, and then let's do this conversation again. Then I tell you.
Yeah, we definitely want to reconnect, but not without asking this absolute final question. I think this is the third last question I said I was going to ask you, and I apologize for that, but you're being such a great interview. How do you hope wrestling fans remember you?
You know, I just want people to remember me, man. Booker T, man, he was cool, man. He was all right. You know what I mean? I don't need to be put on a pedestal or anything. You know, just want people to remember Booker T. A smile come to their face. That's it. You know, because of the memories that they got from Booker T. That's it. I don't need to be remembered as the Hall of Fame or the guy who went out and had, you know, all of the greatest matches. You know, because I know I didn't. You know, but I did my best as far as trying to give the fans the ultimate form of entertainment that I could, and I think I've done that.
Well, in addition to that smile, maybe a bugged out eye will do as well, right?
Yeah, exactly.
A little bit of that. Maybe look at the palm, spin a Rooney, maybe. If
exactly, throw up the finger, you know what I mean? You know, just pay the respects to Booker T for what he tried to do as far as bring laughter, emotion, you know, and bring some feelings to your life while you was watching.
Again, the book is Booker T, From Prison to Promise. It's out now from Medallion Press. SmackDown general manager, multi-time world champion, one of the greats, Booker T, joining us here on the Mouthpiece Wrestling Show on NBC Sports Radio and the Mouthpiece Radio Network. Booker T, thank you so much for being with us. And when that next book comes out, we might give you another call.
Definitely, bro. Appreciate you. Appreciate the time, guys.